Luke chapter number 12, if you found it, if you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 22, and we'll read down through verse number 30. The Bible says, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taken thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Let's read verse 31. "But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Come back and look at a phrase with me in verse number 24, where it says, "How much more are ye better than the fowls?" What about down here in verse number 28 that says, "If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" And I wrote a little thought down I want to share and try to encourage us this morning on this subject matter on better than the birds. Better than the birds. How many are feeding birds throughout the wintertime? So we have a few bird watchers that are here, seeing them come up. Better than the birds. Let's have a word of prayer and share a few thoughts from the scriptures. Father, we love you. So thankful for a God in heaven, for a heavenly Father that pays attention to us. And Lord, if we look around us as the Bible teaches us and sees that you take care of the fowls of the air, and Lord, we know that you'll take care of us. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us today. Lord, that you'd strengthen our hearts and that we'd once again understand and realize how wonderful of a heavenly Father we have. Thank you for who you are now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Probably one of my dad's favorite pastimes is he would always put in his order. And if I were to call Brother Andy up here, he could tell us about 15 different types of bird seed that they have over there at Osborne Agway. And my dad would always put in his order and probably go through 250, 300 pounds worth of sunflower seeds. And he'd put it right out on his deck and the top of the railing, he would actually nail boards to either side and go out with cupfuls two and three times a day and just fill this 8-foot section on top of the railing for all the birds and the fowls of the air and every chipmunk and gray squirrel and red squirrel to be able to come by and fill their cheeks as much as they could. And then he'd say, "Them stinking squirrels." I'm like, "You put it out there for them, what do you expect?" But it's simple thoughts that we think about. And I don't know if you've realized it in verses of scripture like this. Every person that just raised their hands, whether you've ever thrown a piece of bread outside and said the birds will come and take that, or you've ever put bird feeders outside there and hung them there, that God is actually, and maybe you didn't even realize it and think about it at that moment, that God is using you to be able to provide for his creatures that he's created to be able to endure through the winter. God's using individuals that may not even take the time to be able to thank God that they're able to be used to be able to take care of the birds. My dad loved it so much that he would sit there and he had at least one book as thick as this songbook that if a new bird came, that he'd spend the next hours looking through page by page to be able to identify that bird and then mark it off in his book and be able to identify the birds and be able to call them out and if they meant that much to him and they meant that much to God. But see, sometimes we get so obsessed in looking at the creation that is around us and we're so thankful for that. How many believe that there are some beautiful birds that are out there? And I'm thankful for the creation that God has given to us, but sometimes we get to the point and we start focusing more upon the creation than we do actually the Creator. Had to be a divine Creator that made those and put all that thought into that. But as we think about the fowl of the air, I'm reminded there was several years ago that a missionary met up with me and he was talking to me and he had just left a meeting at a church down in Florida. And honestly, just to be transparent, there's some meetings that missionaries go into that they leave more discouraged than they do encouraged. And he was down in North Florida and he left that meeting. He's driving back to Tennessee and he's having a pity party and he's complaining to God and just on and on about, God, what are you doing in my life? And God, are you going to take care of these things? And he said, I stopped for gas at the gas station. Good place to stop for it, isn't it? And he said, well, I'm standing there and he said, I'm pumping gas into the car. And he said, I'm complaining to God. And he said, I'm just having my time. He said, while I'm standing there, he said, I looked down and he said, a little bird came in and landed on the ground and picked up a little crumb that had been dropped and turned around and flew off. And he said, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, took care of that bird, didn't I? And he said, that was about halfway through the trip. And he said the first half of that trip, he said, was all complaining and mumbling towards God about the condition I was in. He said the second half of the trip, he said, I was rejoicing and praising God and thanking him. He said, because if God takes care of the birds and what we think, hey, listen, you ever thought about this, that when you get to the gas station and what you think is just brushing your seat off, from the crumbs of you eating while you were going down the road, God may just be saying, there's some birds that are going to fly by there, and I'm just using you to be able to provide for them. And what we're thinking is, I just don't want crumbs on my seat. And God's saying, taking care of the birds again. And those birds come in. How many get irritated if you're eating French fries up there at Pop's? And the seagulls are all around. There, all the birds are coming in, and you're throwing French fries out there to be able to feed them. Do you understand? We're just taking care of God's creation. And God says, if I can take care of them, and he uses this phrase, how much more? Do you understand that we're better than the birds? You say, I don't know about that. Better than the birds. We have a heavenly Father, and I want to share a few things that God was speaking to my heart about this subject matter of being better than the birds. I'm glad I'm not preaching down in Tennessee because there's actually a lovely couple down there, and their last name is Bird. And I know if I was preaching this down there, they'd be sitting over here. They sit right about here where the Chamberlains are down in Tennessee, and I'd have to be thinking the whole time, no, I'm not talking about these birds. Better than the birds. Aren't you thankful? How much more are ye better than the fowls? First of all, I want to say this, that we're better in our provision for daily living. Provision for daily living. How many are thankful this morning? Sometimes we just take it for granted. And here we just sang a song, page 191, on Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Do you understand that I didn't have to go out for one meal this week and see what someone dropped for crumbs out here on the driveway? But that's what the birds did all week. Or the birds, they came by and they ate out of your bird feeder that you have hanging out there. I didn't have to come find your bird feeder one time this week. We think about our daily provisions that God has given to us, Do you understand? Let me read this to you in Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 17, speaking of the Apostle Paul as he's preaching here on Mars Hill, and he's thinking about and preaching Jesus to them. In Acts chapter 17, the first phrase of verse number 28 in the middle of this message, it's speaking of Christ and says, verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Everything that is necessary in our life. How many provided your own oxygen to be able to breathe this morning? No. God took care of that, didn't he? How many took care of us being able to walk outside? And listen, I'm thankful. I'm looking around. Some had a little bit more of a difficult time than others. But we all walked in here on our own power this morning. Aren't you thankful? The blessings that we have, listen, we don't have to go picking up crumbs out there on the ground. But even if we did, we know that we have a faithful Father in heaven that would be taking care of us. I'm so reminded of what the Bible says. David said it. "I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You know something? We have a Father in heaven that's going to take care of us. We have a Father in heaven that says, "Listen, I want to remind you that you are better than the fowl of the air. You're better than the birds. And if God is taking care of them, understand that God's going to take care of us." We already have the promise that he's going to. I'm reminded all the way back through. Now listen, it may not always be the meal that we want. How many ever had one of those meals that your parents looked at you and said, "Hey, there's starving kids in Africa that would love to have that"? If my wife was here this morning, she could give testimony. She got in trouble one time because she looked back at her mom and said, "Well, pack it up and send it to them." That didn't go over so well. But we think about things like that. Hey, how many are blessed today more than what you deserve? And I look back over the scriptures and I see how God did provide for his people throughout history. And it may not have been what they wanted all the time. You say, did they ever have to go out and pick crumbs up off the ground? They sure did for 40 years. The nation of Israel, remember, as they wandered in the wilderness, God provided manna every morning for them, except for the Sabbath day. The day before the Sabbath, they had to go and gather twice as much. But you know, they were little bread kernels as sweet as honey, as the Bible's describing them, as they sprinkled there over the ground, enough to be able to provide for, some estimates have been, 2 or 3 million people. And every morning, they'd be able to go out and be able to gather that together and be able to go back in and thank God once again for providing their meal. Do you realize that they even got complaining about God providing that meal for them? All they had to do, literally, all they had to do was set foot out of the front door of their tent and scrape it up off the ground, take it back in, and they still complained. Sounds like me as a kid. I didn't even have to go outside and get it. I just had to come sit down at the table and eat it. And we still complain. But God met every need for them. Whether they ate 2 or 3 meals a day, whatever they did, God met the need every day of their life as they were wandering in the wilderness. And listen, even when they started complaining, "Well, I'm sick of this." You understand? They were complaining about the blessings and provision of God. Boy, we got to be so careful, don't we? That when God provides, it may not be everything that we want, but it's everything that we need. And he provided that for them. Well, then they got to the point and said, "Well, we want some meat to be able to go with it." Now, listen, I'm one. Give me a steak once in a while, okay? I understand. But they were literally scraping their food up off the ground as God provided. They started complaining and said, "We want meat." God said, "You want meat? I'll give you meat." And God brought the quails in. The Bible says it was so thick with the quails coming through, they just had to reach up and grab them out of the air. How about that quail hunting? Anybody here ever been quail hunting, pheasant hunting, anything? Yeah, listen, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. God said, "Listen, even in your complaining, I'm going to bring quail so thick that you just reach up and grab them out of the air. Take them back in and prepare them. And they so indulged in the blessing of God at that point, they said quail meat, they ate so much it was coming out their nose. Now that's eating too much. I think that's being a glutton, okay? That's eating too much when what you're eating is so filled up that it's coming out your nostrils. That's Bible truth. But God gave them and provided for them over and over and over. He says, listen, you're so much better than the birds, I'll give you bird to eat. But then later on, listen, you can study this throughout Scripture, the provision that God gives to us. What about the time God led Elijah to be able to go out there by the brook? And do you understand he was out there? Everybody else was suffering through a famine, and here's Elijah camped out by the brook, has all the water, but no food. You know what God had the birds do? He had ravens, the Bible tells us. Listen, they're mentioned here in verse number 24. Same family of birds, ravens, back with Elijah, that God would send the ravens. And the Bible says they'd go down and take meat off the king's table, out of the king's baskets, and be able to fly it out there and just drop it down for Elijah to be able to eat. You say, that Bible, that's just a boring book. When I start reading about God using birds to be able to take meat and deliver it to the man of God where he's put him, I'm saying that's not boring. That's our Heavenly Father taking care of us. Now listen, I'm thankful that God hasn't had me go camp out at a river somewhere and wait for a bird to come by and drop meat down to me. But if that's necessary, I'm just saying we have a God that provides and takes care of us. And there are several that could give testimony over and over and over again when it was down to nothing, when it was saying, I may not have anything in the cupboards, when we're scratching everything to be able to pay a bill, to be able to put food on the table. And there's several here that can give testimony of how God provided for them. Hey, listen, I remember times Crystal and I were starting off newly married, then 3 months after we're married, we hit the road full time and say, hey, God's called us into missions. We're living in a Ford Escort station wagon. Nights we slept in the back of that Ford Escort station wagon, traveling from church to church. And there were times we'd take off and she'd make up a gallon of sweet tea and would have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And you say, Pastor, are you complaining? No, we bowed our head and thanked God that we had sweet tea and we had peanut butter and jelly. And it may seem like a small thing to you, but growing up, the only thing that Crystal's parents were given was grape jelly. And she despises grape jelly to this day. But she said, you know something? We may be down to peanut butter and jelly, but it's not grape jelly. Hey, we're just talking about in everything give thanks and counting our blessings and getting to the point that if God needed to, listen, he can provide. You can survive off sweet tea. The worst day we had is when the sweet tea tipped over in the back seat. And we didn't get back. Listen, you know that sugar ferments after a while? And by the time we got off the road and got to a place to be able to shampoo that out and wash it, it had fermented in the back floorboard there. And we lost our sweet tea. I'm like, how much worse can things get? You know what I'm reminded of? God took care of us. He's provided. He took care of the nation of Israel for day after day after day, even in their rebellion and their unbelief in God. That's why they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God still provided every need that they had. God still provided for Elijah as he was there sitting beside the brook. And listen, if God's able to do it for them, aren't you thankful that we serve the same God and he's able to do it for us? And God reminds us here in Luke chapter 12, and you can go back to Matthew chapter number 6, and he reminds us there. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10 here in just a little bit. But we're reminding us that we're better than the birds. I've never seen one unemployment line for birds. I haven't. Now, you think about this. I've never seen, and here's how my former pastor put it when he preached out of this passage, okay? This will put it in perspective for you. He said, I've never seen a bird building a worm barn. Never seen it. Never seen a bird building a worm barn. The Bible says here, they neither sow nor reap, but they take off from their nest and say, we're believing God today. Believe in God. Now, you understand the context of Scripture that's here. The previous account that he's given to us of is this man that said, I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He had an abundance. And he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And the Lord Jesus is reminding him, saying, hey, I take care of the birds. They neither sow nor reap. And you're better than them. Now, I understand if you're a tree hugger and you love the animals more than that. Listen, we're better than birds. We're higher on the food chain. And may I say this? We're higher on God's pecking order, too. He says, you're more important. You're better than the birds. And if God's taking care of the birds, then why do we sit around sulking? God's going to take care of us, too. We wring our hands and we get all nervous and worried. We're better than the birds in the provision for our daily life. I thought about Joseph down in Egypt, how that God took care of not just Egypt, but Israel, and took care of the surrounding nations. Remember, there was 7 years of plenty. They were able to store that up, and then they were able to give it out for the next 7 years and provide through the famine. God took care of them in our provision for daily living. But then can I say this? We're better than the birds because we have a life that can actually have meaning. You say, what do you mean? Well, we're going to get into the fact of a soul here in just a little while. But I thought about this down in verse number 28. Look what the Bible says in verse number 28 of Luke chapter 12. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you understand he's comparing our life at that moment to something that is here today and gone tomorrow? Something that has no value whatsoever. It's grass of the field that is cut down and thrown into the oven. The previous verse is talking about the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. How many believe that lilies are such a beautiful flower? Aren't they? We could give into a whole bunch of the study of lilies. Do you understand? I'll just give you this little side point right here. Do you understand for lilies to be able to thrive, that they have to have a cold season that they go through? They actually, if it's more down south, you actually have to dig those bulbs up if you're not going to get cold weather, and you actually have to put them, they say wrap them up and put them in the back of your refrigerator. Dig them up out of the ground. Go back and study about the bulbs of a lily. They have to go through that cold time to be able to come back and to be able to flourish. We don't have that problem up here in New England, okay? They'll come back, and within the next 5 years, those lilies that are planted everywhere on our landscaping, they're going to overtake the entire landscaping. You know why? We have plenty of cold weather. These daylilies that are planted out there. God says, listen, I can take care of the lilies. This grass that is in the field one day, cast into the oven tomorrow, how much better are you than that? You actually have a life that is of value. A life that means something. Do you understand there's animals that they are born and they live and they die and there's no eternal value whatsoever? I don't mean to burst your bubbles. The only animals that we're seeing so far in heaven is horses, okay? I understand the Disney movie and how cute it is that all dogs go to heaven, okay? I don't have Bible saying it doesn't happen, but I don't have Bible saying it does. But he compares things as we look in the scriptures that we actually have a life that is valued beyond just today and tomorrow. We have a life that is of eternal value, that God has so looked at us, and there's people all around us that say, listen, your life is of no value. Well, I'm saying there's a God in heaven that your life is of value to. It's a value for all of eternity, not just like grass in the field, and then it's cut down and thrown into the oven. But your life has more value than just grass. It's a more value than that. You say, well, of who? Of your heavenly Father. God values you more than birds and more than grass that's going to be cut down. Isn't that a blessing? Now listen, we look around. Some people value birds greatly. Some people value their grass greatly. There's more money put into their grass than they put into anything else throughout the year. I guess when you only have it for the 3 months, you're going to put everything into it. But I thought we value some things. But do you realize as much value that is put into grass, they walk out and just cut it? And God's trying to teach us here, you're worth more to God. Eternal value. Not just temporary. Eternal value. You're worth something to God. More than birds and more than the grass of the field. And he said, if I can take care of the lilies and how beautiful they are, how much more can I take care of you? Because you're worth it to him. And I thought, well, he provides for us on a daily basis. I can have a life with meaning. How many want when they leave this world for people to actually miss you and say you've made an impact on their life? You know, I desire for that. I want my life. I've listened to a song several times. I want my life to count for Jesus. I want value to be that when I'm gone, people would say they impacted my life. They made a difference in my life. You know, I've never sat and mourned after I cut my grass in the summertime. I never sat back and said, oh, I don't know. I'm sorry for that grass. It just made an impact in my life. God says, I want you to know your life is worth more than that. And listen, there may be some people that devalue your life and say you're not worth anything, but I want you to know there's a God in heaven that thinks you're worth something. There's a God in heaven that looks down and says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a life with meaning. It may not mean anything to the circle of people that you're in, but it means something to God. Look at this back in Matthew chapter 10 with me. Matthew chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse number 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than the sparrows. You know, if you study some of the sparrows that were over in the Bible land over around the nation of Israel is one species of sparrow, and it could have been the one when he talks about one of them fall on the ground, because the mom, when they got to a point and they wanted to get the little sparrows out of the nest, they would be on the wing and they would swing down close to the ground and they would tip sideways and those sparrows would fall off to the ground and they would have to scurry off and from that point fend for themselves. And I was reminded as I read about that, and I was reminded about the scriptures here, and not a one of them fall to the ground, but yet there's a heavenly Father that says, I'm thinking about that sparrow. And there's value that God places. And if God places the value upon a sparrow that falls to the ground, he says, I want to remind you, the very hairs on your head are numbered. And if God's thinking about a bird, how much more does he care about you? If God takes enough care to keep track of the hairs on your head, boy, that's love, isn't it? That's a value to someone. We have a life that can have meaning. But then you say, how much more that we're better than birds? I just want to remind us of this as we come back over in Luke chapter number 12. The Bible says in verse number 23, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And I thought, how much more are we better than the birds? Let me remind us how much better we are. God wants to spend eternity with us. Now think about that. God of heaven, the Almighty, our Heavenly Father. Now here's where we do start separating out humans and animals. They have emotions. I understand animals have emotions. I'm not preaching against having a pet. They can be sad. They can hurt. I understand that they have emotions. But may I say this? They don't have a soul. They don't have a soul that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. They don't have a soul that when sin entered into humanity, that was separated from Almighty God. And we know according to the Bible in John 3:16 that God sent his only begotten Son. May I remind us that Jesus did not come to this earth to die for the birds. He came to die for us. You know why? Because we have a soul that God desires for us to be able to spend eternity with him. You say, well, I'm not much better than a bird. You don't understand my life and you don't understand everything that I've done, everything that I've gone through. Listen, you got great value to God in heaven. Your soul is one that he desires that he will spend eternity with. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came and died upon an old rugged cross. Do you understand the one thing that was broken when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden? That fellowship was broken between them and Almighty God. And we have that in the first three chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We have creation, and then we have sin entered into mankind in chapter number 3. Do you understand the remainder of the Bible, the other 1,186 chapters that there are as you go throughout the Scriptures, is God's plan of reconciliation. In the first three, you have man separated from God. The other 1,186 chapters throughout the Bible is God saying, I want you to reconcile back. You know why? Because it say this, you're worth it. You're of more value than a bird. You ever gone into some of them homes and it almost breaks your heart that you can tell, and listen, I'm all for if you have an animal, take care of them, okay? But you ever been in some of them homes that they take care of their animals more than they take care of their children? Can I remind us that is never the case with our Heavenly Father? Hey, if God can provide for the bird coming down because you swept the crumbs out of your car, and God says, just waiting for it, I got these birds over here that they're hungry today, and they can't get a worm out of the ground. But we happen to go by and, oh, you got them leftover French fries. I'll throw them out there on the grass. And what God's saying is, I knew you were going to do that. I had some birds that needed to be taken care of. Can I say God does that for his children? Because we're worth it to him? Remember what he did for Ruth as she was out there and she was just gleaning in the fields of Boaz and just going by the corners of the field where the poor folk would go. And they'd leave them corners that would be there for those that needed some help in life to be able to go by and to be able to glean those corners and be able to pick up some grain. And Boaz told his foreman there, said, listen, I want you to drop a few handfuls on purpose. And it's just a picture of what God does for us. You know why? Because that's not all being left off to the side just for the birds to come and take. But as Boaz would just drop those handfuls on purpose, and then he'd say, when he started liking on her a little bit, want you to go and knock one of them sheaths over. Because if one of them fell over and it touched the ground, they weren't able to be able to bring that back and put it into the barn and be able to sell it. And hey, Ruth's walking by, go ahead and drop that off and she can go home with a bushel full today. And she walked home and her mother-in-law looked at her and said, boy, whose favor have you found? Can I say this, if we'd take some time to sit back and think? God takes care of them birds that are flying around. But I believe sometimes if we'd look around us in our lives, that we'd be saying, boy, whose favor have we found? It's not the favor of your boss. It's the favor of God. Hey, God provides. Now, God may use that job, and He does. Aren't you thankful for a job? Aren't you thankful to be able to have a place to be able to go to and they actually pay you? To be able to get accomplished some things and you can take that back and you can buy your groceries. You can pay for heat in your house. You can actually buy some food to be able to eat. And we get to walk in, listen, and we have entire buildings that are dedicated to holding any type of food you desire. That you can just walk in and you get to pick it out. I brought a good friend of mine, Brother Nixon, over from West Africa. First time he flew in, he landed in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I picked him up from the airport and I had to stop at Sam's Club. And we sat there at Sam's Club and Brother Nixon looked around. He'd never seen anything like that. He's from Ghana. He looked around and he said, Brother Peter, you mean you can just come to one place and pick up anything you need? He said, you don't have to go down and walk to 15 different places to be able to get all these different things. And then he said this. He said, is this all owned by one family? I said, pretty much. I said, and they own the Walmarts too. He said, Brother Peter, you guys are so blessed. He said, you have so much here in America. He said, just be able to go one place and be able to get all of those things. Hey, you can even fill up your gas tank there too. And I thought, you know, if we'd understand truly the blessings of how much our God takes care of us, we're of more value than the birds. If God takes care of them, so listen, here's my thought for today. Every time you see a bird, hey, God had some of our men climb up to the top of a mountain to stick their hand out to be able to feed the gray jays. Up on the top of a mountain in the middle of a snowstorm, in the middle of winter, God said, I've got some that are just foolish enough to walk up on top there and be able to feed them. And you know something? God took care of them. Now listen, if God will go through all of that to make sure the birds are taken care of, what do you think He'll do for you? What do you think? And we sit back and wring our hands and worry and fret when I'm hoping you'll see a bird fly by and you'll remember God cares for me more than He cares for that bird. How much better? It might be at a gas station that you're there and you're filling up and you're having a pity party saying, I can't do everything that I want, and a little bird will come down and get a crumb and fly off. Well, praise the Lord. That just reminds me every time now. I've got a Heavenly Father that loves me more than the birds. Now listen, you may be here today and you say, boy, I wish I had that type of Heavenly Father. And maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're not a child of God. Hey, listen, God's no respecter of persons. He'll take care of me the same way He'll take care of you. Well, I'm so thankful for that. He'll take care of you the same way he took care of the nation of Israel, same way he took care of Joseph down in Egypt, same way he took care of Elijah sitting there beside the brook. You say, man, I'm all worked up and worried. Just think about the birds and remember, that's our Heavenly Father. And if God will do that for me, he'll do it for you. And I wonder today if you're a child of God or maybe Christian, you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm a little bit nervous over some things. There's just some things in my life and I just need to remember that God's going to take care of me. I need to remember that God's going to provide. And we haven't had to go out and look for crumbs off the ground yet, okay? But God fully can drop manna down from heaven to be able to feed us. He's fully capable of that. But he hasn't had to do it yet. Aren't you thankful for the God that we serve? He's so wonderful.